You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 79, No Texting While Spamming.
You ever use the app Sumly?
No, but I heard they got bought recently.
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
They add things together?
No, actually.
Huh.
It doesn't sum things. It sums things up.
Okay.
So basically, it's an app that's designed to lay out content on your phone in such a way that you like don't have to scroll and stuff. It's just a layout different. It sums. Oh. It's Sumly. It sums it up nicely. Kind of crazy.
Okay. Yeah, I have heard of them. I tried it and it was dumb. And so I deleted the app.
Why? What was it? What was dumb about it?
Just their summaries were not good, or they weren't interesting to me, I guess.
So you're trying to say you wouldn't pay $30 million for it?
Well, that depends, I guess. I wouldn't. Well, it was free, and I didn't keep it around.
Interesting, because Marissa Myers of Yahoo disagrees. She does think it's worth $30 million.
Well, she's smarter than I am, I guess.
So,
she's got a lot on her plate. She could make a bad choice.
It could be. But
Yahoo bought Sumly so they could figure out how to have a better homepage?
I guess. They think it's going well, and they're trying to figure out how to shake up their product and make money doing what they're doing. Yahoo News has been a huge part of their limited success in the last couple of years. So to do that better, I'm sure, is something that they are very interested in. But the reason why this is like worth bringing to your attention, because, $30 million go through all the time and we don't mention it, but it's because the inventor of Sumly is 17-year-old Nick Dial.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he's 17-year-old.
The kid's still in high school.
17 years old. Sold for $30 million. Yeah. Ridiculous.
If he's smart, he can do whatever he can. How do I want to say this? If he's smart, yeah, he can do whatever he wants for the rest of his life in terms of a career. And never have to work for money again. He could just have fun.
Yep.
I like
it. He's got to be smart. But,
well, he's got to diversify it, put it into investments, and then just live off the interest. You know, which will be like $600,000 to $700,000 a year.
Yeah, that's it.
Means he could live okay, maybe take a vacation a couple times a week.
Yeah, a week, really. Yeah. I hope he wastes all of his money and becomes miserable, because I hate people being happy. That's not true. I don't hate people being happy. I hope he's successful. It's just ridiculous.
I think he will be.
Yeah.
Well, because the nice part about being 17, the problem he'll have to look out for is not being taken advantage of, which I know is not Yahoo's point, but there could be a lawyer or an accountant who wants to, quote, help him, and they do for a significant fee, and it just slowly bleeds them out. Hopefully, my guess is that this kid has some very good parental support, and they will help him manage his funds and set him up properly. That's cool. 17 years old. Man.
Honestly, though, this is a little bit of social commentary, but I think $30 million at 17 would have made me miserable. I think it would have ruined my life.
I would like to find out.
Yeah, I'm willing to take the risk. At this point, I think I'd be better equipped to handle it, but it would just kill any motivation to do anything. Like you said, you just diversify it, and all of a sudden you're living off of, hundreds of thousands of dollars in salary every year, and I would just goof off. Like, I'd say, oh, I'm going to write, and then I would never write. Or I would say, oh, I'm going to build robots, and then I would never build robots. Because why would you? You can just hang out and, have parties and go on vacations and I don't know what I would do with my life. Like, I, you know.
You become an aristocrat. You'd have in-depth discussions over fancy dinners.
I'd really want.
But for only $600,000 a year, I mean, you're not quite in the elite yet. You're just, like, obscenely middle class, if that makes sense.
Obscenely middle class. Yeah, you know what? I love how, like, you and I, I've realized that, like, our perception of wealth is, like, is completely off. I don't know if it's, like, completely right or completely wrong. I tend to think that we're right and everybody else has, like, way overestimates or underestimates or just improperly estimates how much money it takes to be wealthy. I think that's what it is. I feel like we sit there and go, yeah, 600K. Yeah, you could, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. I could live off of that. I could make that work. I think I could make that work. And every, like, I meet people that are like, dude, I can make 20K a year work. No, I don't think you understand.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean,
it's when you don't have to work that becomes a problem because now all it is like, you're just spending the money. Like, you're just spending money. You have to find something to fill your time with. The reason why you can live off 50K a year is because you spend all of your time working for that 50K a year and then sleeping so that you can work for that 50K a year. And you only spend like 2 hours a day most days and then 6 hours a day on the weekend spending that money. The vast majority of your time is spent figuring out how to earn the money. You spend so little time spending it that it seems like a lot of money. But when you don't have to spend any time earning the money, all you have is time to think about how to spend the money. You spend a lot more money.
Well, okay, so that's not necessarily 100% true.
It's not.
And if you want further proof, visit the website MrMoneyMustache.com. He's a guy who he retired in his 30s, and he spends, I think he's under $30,000 a year.
Well, yeah, but he's like, okay, no. I don't mean this. Okay. There are outliers.
Well, just I'm in not. The sense that you can live a fulfilling, meaningful life without spending gobs and gobs of money.
Definitely.
You know.
Definitely. I'm not saying that you have to. I'm saying I actually think you're better off if you don't. I think you live a happier, more fulfilling life if you figure out how to not spend gobs and gobs of money. What I'm saying is I think most people, if you're given gobs and gobs of money and a regular income, you do because you stop. What I'm saying is I think most people, the reason why we don't spend gobs of money is because we don't have time. Think about how to spend gobs of money. But when you have gobs of money and you have time to think about how to spend it, people will tend to because they didn't think about it in the first place.
I don't know. My guess is that it would slowly creep up on you. Like, you know, if you had that kind of income, you buy the big house, right? You go, what the heck? I'll do a little bit bigger. And you decide, and I don't really want to clean it. I'm going to hire someone to do that. And I don't want to do my dishes or make dinner. I'm going to hire someone to do that. And you slowly, what's that? It's you outsource all of those little things and really make your life convenient so that you can focus on doing those fun things. And so those things add up super fast. And then the fun things that you choose to do,
you go bigger,
you know, you go, yeah, why not? And then, you know, the next year because of hedonic adaptation, which, you know, basically means you get used to it. You go bigger. And right. So the first couple years it might be okay. And you probably do have to, unless you do are just frugal, but in nature, you probably do have to fight it to some degree. But
yeah, see, that's what
I'm
saying.
See, I'd be happy if I had, I don't know, I'm going to, if all of my student loans were paid off, I guess, if I had about $1 million saved, I could live off that interest and it would be okay.
Hmm. You see, my thought is, if you gave me $50,000 a year every year for the rest of my life, and I realize that that number becomes less significant as time goes on because of inflation, which is important, that would be really good because basically what you'd do is you'd cover my my yearly nut and then some, but it wouldn't give me enough money to buy a nice house, buy a nice car, it's like it covers the basic car, it covers rent, it covers savings, but it doesn't allow me to live a cool life. So now it's like all of my, I'm safe. I don't have to stress about money because of my base is covered. Now I can get into doing things like, well, I have to write because I have to make more money if I want to grow further, especially because as time goes on, like, that becomes a less significant number. I can't live off of 50K for the rest of my life because, you know, if I don't, unless I move out of the area or whatever, or downgrade my life as time goes on, which who wants to do that? But you got to keep chasing that, you know, that next loop.
Well,
on
you
that
just
race.
Do the math at a 4% withdrawal rate, and therefore you keep up with inflation, and you're fine. But anyways,
but, you know, but my point is, you know, my point in all of this is that if you could give me like a base of like that's. I'm you know, winning the lottery. I don't want so much that I feel like I don't have to work, but I don't want so little that, you know, or, you know, I'd say 50,
well, if you're out of that situation, let me know. I'll take the difference, and it'll be an experiment. You know, you keep enough, so you get your 50K a year. I'll take the rest. I'll just tell you how it works out.
All right, man. It's, you know what? I'll make a deal with you. If I get that much guaranteed income, I will definitely think about it. I will spend solid 5 minutes penciling it out.
just fly me over in person so I can help you pencil that out.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, deal.
So, anyway,
we totally got off track on anything tech related,
and we are actually getting pretty close to the wall.
Cool.
Do you have a quick one? Or it's okay if you don't.
I have a couple of quick ones, but they're just not that interesting.
All right. So, on that note, that was an interesting little topic in the end. That's okay. Who needs to always have tech, right?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, we talk about advertising and, you know, sometimes get into our own personal views of the world. Hey, man,
yeah,
it's a diverse
show. I
think
that, you know, and it's relevant to, you know, a founder who starts it up and they, you know, make it big time, you do have to grapple with those types of life questions. And, you know, and I do know of some to pull it back, to summarize it. I do know of
get it.
I do know of one founder who said that he worked really, really hard, built up his company, sold it, and did the whole like retirement thing on a beach and hated it. great. And so now he's back in the valley building another startup, but he's not doing it for money because he's already got that. Now he's just following a passion and an interest and is busier than ever and loves it.
Yeah.
So, that's the trick, right? Is to find what you love, and you literally don't have to do it for money now. And chances are you will be busy and stressed and love almost every minute of it. And that's okay. Yep. That's a good place to be. And quite honestly, if I read a really, really interesting thing, because it was talking about this idea of working for money or not, and basically it said, you know, if you have a passion for something, figure out as fast as you can how to do that. Even if, you know, the biggest excuse, like, well, I was like, well, no one would ever pay me to do this, right?
Yeah.
And what he says was, and this was like a massive, you know, very prominent career advisor person that when I read the name, I went, oh, I've heard that before, you know, but I don't remember right now.
Yeah.
But he was saying, chances are, you know, he goes, go for it anyways. You know, figure out how to make life work. Don't worry about the money. Spend the time becoming an expert in that field. Because believe it or not, you will get really, really good at it and get to the point where people will be willing to pay you gobs of money for that skill because they need something done and they haven't taken the time to learn it because they were too busy having a job.
Right.
And like he gave like a fisherman example, you know, where it was like, yeah, being a fisherman probably doesn't pay the bills. But man, if you do it a lot and you really get into it and you invest into it, there are guys out there who will pay you to tell them where the fish are, how to fish for them, what the technique is. And, you know, you just get to that point. And it's like, and now all of a sudden you are making, a living doing what you love the entire time. It's like, huh, there's some, there's some interesting truth to that. Obviously, you got to put food on the table and shelter over your head.
Nice part about being a fisherman is you can just go fishing to put food on the table.
True. As a fisherman, yeah. And it just, you know, and that obviously, you know, extends to whatever you think your hobby is. But I thought that was interesting.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, where you got to keep the long game in mind. But like I said, you still got to put food on the table, which is still part of the trick. All right. Very cool, man. Thanks for driving the conversation. I appreciate it. Next week, I promise I'll contribute more to the
podcast.
To the happenings, but that's all right.
Hey, man. That's okay. You're going to have to do this all on your own in 2 weekends. So
yeah, I'm on it. You probably when is that again?
It's April 19th. I will be. I could try to podcast in.
Nope, that
would be pretty funny.
I got it.
I won't worry about it, dude.
Cool beans. So on that note, everybody, my name is James Furlow. My brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time. If there was a scale of preparedness, 1 being I'm not prepared at all, 10 being I could do this show with my eyes closed, memorized, I'm probably sitting in between a 0 and a 1.
0 and a 1, nice. You know what I really like about that is if you think back to our first show, I feel like we were somewhere in the 9.5 region. You know, it was nice to have a little source material, but we didn't really need it. We've come a long ways.
I got like little horns in my hair.
Yes,
too.
You do. The irony of that is.
Yeah, which awesome. We'll talk about it once we're actually rocking and rolling.